You're listening to Amon V'Chazor with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Dalad Amud Beis. And we're second Amud in the ninth parak, the final parak of Brachos, in the recording that I sent from Thursday Shavuos. I ended at the period on Nun Dalad Amud Beis at the top. So the first words on the line are Avnei Al Gabish, which is about 10 lines down, something like that, right? So just in case you guys didn't get to the bottom of the Amud yet, you'll listen to the rest of the recording. What we had in our Mishnah, we described a halacha that you need to make a certain bracha, shasanisim avosenu, right? If in a place, b'makom hazeh, in a place where the... where Hashem performed miracles for Klal Yisrael. So turning to the previous Amud, we mentioned a bunch of examples, right? You can see, we quoted a Brisa, actually. So it's on the previous Amud, but also 10 or so lines in the bottom, Tanur Rabbanan. And we gave, so I think it's kedai just to read this Brisa quickly, and then we'll skip. So on the previous Amud, Tanur Rabbanan, Haroa Mavros Hayam, Mavros Hayardin, Mavros Nachle Arnon, somebody meaning one who sees the place where the Jewish people crossed over the Yamsuf, or the Yardain, or Nachle Arnon, or somebody who saw the Avne Al Gabish, the stones of Al Gabish, Bemorad Beis Choron, that in, but
do we
in
the, know where these are?
What? Yeah.
I thought that Machlekes where these are.
Machlekes of whom? Like for us nowadays, but for archaeologists nowadays, yeah. It seems to be at the time, which this is close to 2,000 years ago, there was some sort of tradition for where a lot of these things were. We'll see a couple more. Oh yeah, so the stones of Al Gabish in Morad Beis Charon, that's what we're going to start discussing today. The Evan should be Kesh Lizrok Og Melech HaBash and Al Yisrael. Also, if you see the stone that Og wanted to throw at the Jewish people, the Evan Sheyashav Aleha Moshe B'Shash Asa Yeshua Melchama Baal Malik. Also, the stone that Moshe sat on when Yeshua fought against Amalek in Parshas Bashalach. The Ishto Shalot. Also, if you see the wife of Lot in her current state. Also, B'Chomas Yericho Shenivla B'Mekoma. Also, the wall of Yericho that was swallowed into the ground. Al Kulan Sarach Sheiten Hoda V'Shevach Lifnei Amakom. And all of these things you need to give Shevach and Hoda before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara proceeds to analyze each one. So now we're going to continue from that. So now turn back to Nun Dalad Amud Beis, by the words Avnei Al Gabish. So that's what we're up to. So Avnei Al Gabish, the stones of Al Gabish, my Avnei Al Gabish. What in the world are the stones of Al Gabish? So Tana, it was taught in Brisa, Vonim Sha'omdu Al Gav Ish, that they're the stones that stood, and really stood means like stopped, right? Amod means to stand, but also means like to stop in place. So the stones that stood, Al Gav Ish, V'yordu Al Gav Ish, and they also came down because of a man. So they stood up because of a man, and they stayed in one place because of a man, and they came down because of a man. So it's darshaning al gabish as al gav ish, on the account of a man. Okay, so that's that for now. So they're meaning, and we're going to say that there were these stones that stopped because of one ish, and then came down because of another ish. So who are these anoshim? So Amdu al gav ish, they stood in one place and froze essentially because of a man, which ish ze Moshe. That ish is Moshe. Dichsiv bo ish Moshe anav mik ma'od. Because the pasuk says the man Moshe was very humble. So we see we have a precedent for calling Moshe the man, right? Va ish Moshe. Moshe's the man. So it's fitting to say Al Gav Ish could be referring to him. What stones froze because of him? V'iksiv, the pasuk says, V'yechdulu ha'kolos v'habarad umatar lo nitach artza. Because it says that the sounds stopped, the kolos, the thunder, and the hail and rain did not reach the ground anymore. This is talking, obviously, in Parshas Va'era, where Moshe stops the Barad, but Chazal, read the pasuk, they say, listen, it means that he stopped it in midair, that there were these large hailstones ready to fall down on Mitzrayim, and they literally froze in midair. They stopped. Why? Al-Gavish, because of that man, Moshe Rabbeinu. Yordu Al-Gavish, and then they ended up coming down, on the right, because of an ish, which ish? Yoshua, a man with spirit within him. So you see, Yoshua is also called a man. V'ksiv, and the pasuk says, "Vehi benusam ibnei bnei Yisrael, heim b'morad beis charon." So it was when they were escaping. There were five kings that, and this isn't safe for Yeshua. There was a group of Canaan called the Gavonim, who under false pretense, ended up converting to Judaism to some degree and made peace with Klal Yisrael. And then there are these five kings who are like attacking them for that. So now Yeshua was taking on these five kings, and they were running away from Yeshua, Bnei Bnei Yisrael, from Klal Yisrael, in this descent in Beis Choron. And what happened, says the pasuk in Yoshua, Vahashem hishlich aleihem avonim gedolos. Hashem sent great stones upon them. So, what are these great stones? So, Chazal Darshan, and also, by the way, it makes sense at the end of the pasuk. If you have the full pasuk there, let's see, I have it here. The pasuk says, because you can't appreciate it properly from the Gemara on its own. So, the full pasuk, do you guys have it in front of you, by any chance? In your Gemaras? Yeah, so it says, Vayhi benusim v'pnei Yisrael, hein b'morad beis choron, v'ashem hishlich aleim avanim gedolos, min ha-shamayim, ad azeka v'yamusu rabim asher mesu ba'avnei ha-barad, with the stones of barad. By the way, it says ha-barad. I don't know if this is Chazal Shusha, but it says the barad. What is the barad? So it's a throwback to pardon the pun, which is al-gav. But it's a throwback to the Bard of Mitzrayim. So basically, what we're saying is that Chazal Darshan, the stones of Al Gabish, as the hailstones, massive hailstones that froze because of Moshe, and they were delayed, and they ended up coming down in the time of Yeshua to help conquer the land. And that's these stones of Al Gabish. And Yechezkel, by the way, also talks about this messianic stones of Al Gabish that are going to destroy. Maybe it's Gog and Magog or some of our enemies. So it's also mentioned there. But that's the stones of Al-Gabish. So if you see these stones, presumably, some people at the times of the Mishnah at least knew where some of these stones were. That was that was an opportunity to make a bracha on the miracle that Hashem did for us. Next, Eved Shebikesh Og Melchabashan Lizrok Al Yisrael. So the stone that Og wanted to throw in Yisrael. So I don't know he wanted to throw in Yisrael, but they did. So and particularly, it's actually an oral tradition. Gemara Gemirila, we have actually an oral tradition about this stone that he wanted to throw. It's going to be a very interesting one. Omar, so Og said to himself, he's thinking, okay, what should I do? Let's see. Machane Yisrael Kamahave. How big is Machane Yisrael? Let's see. It's like plus a parse. It's three parsaos, right? So roughly, three parsaos would be around probably between 6 to 9 miles. So that's how big they are. Ezel, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go. V'akir Tura, I'm going to lift up a mountain, bar tlasa parsi, you know, a three parsa long mountain. V'eshtialahi, and I'm going to throw down them, v'iktalinu, and I'm going to kill them. Okay, so this was Og's plan. He measured out, he took a tape measure, measured out how large the camp of Klal Yisrael was, and said, I got perfect plan. I'm going to pick up a mountain that size and crush them. Azal, so he went. Akartura, so he lifted up Bartala, said Parse, he lifted up one of those mountains. But of course, you know, everything, his plan was flawless. It made sense, right? What was wrong with it? Except one thing happened. Va'isi al Reshe, he lifted it up, he brought it on his head. It's a little heavy. a 9 mile mountain is a little bit heavy. So he had to put it on his head to rest it a little bit of weakling. The icy kudsha brichu ale kamtze, and Hashem brought kamtze. Rashi says namalim, ants, some sort of like ants or insects. Vinakvua, and they ate out like the inside of it. And what else? What do you think would happen? Vinachis mitzavare, and then it fell, and his mountain got stuck on his head. So he looks like this big, you know, klutz with a mountain on his head. Help me. Hava boy mishalfa. He wanted to lift it off of himself. Wanted to, like, unsheath himself, like, take it off. Mashchei shine. But, of course, what else could go wrong? His teeth extended. Lahagisa. I don't know, buck teeth, but split, like, I don't know, some, like, you know, tusks. And if that happened, v'lomatzim l'mashalfa, and he wasn't able to take it off. V'hainu dichsiv, and that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, shine rishayim shibarta. Hashem says, right, that the teeth of rishayim are going to break. Right, this is a pasuk in Tehillim. And uchad reb shem ben lakish, but it's the way that Reish Lakish darshens it. Dama Reish Lakish, reb shem ben lakish, Ma'idachsiv shine rishayim shibarta. What does it mean? Atek shibarta ela shiravavta. The teeth of the wicked will grow, and this is what it means. Og's teeth are going to grow out and get the mountain stuck on his head. I understand. But now, right? He's sitting there like a you know, no one to help him. Sitting duck. Moshe kama hava aser. So how tall was Moshe? Obviously, he was Eser Amos. He was 10 Amos. Somewhere between 15 and 20 feet tall. Shokil Narga, he took an axe, Bar Asar Amin. It was an axe his height, a 10 Amma axe. Right, Bar Shavar Asar Amin, he did a 10 Amma jump. Umechaya Bekursle Vekatle. And he hit Og in the ankle and he killed him. So we have this, right, so there's this 30 Amma ankle of Og, which means that Og's ankle was somewhere between 45 and 60 feet tall. And he hits him in the ankle and he kills him. That's the end of the Gemara. So it's obviously a very strange Agadic teaching. Most of the Farshim, I remember my Rebbe in 12th grade actually using this as an example of an Agadic Gemara that cannot be taken literally. There's barely three words in a row that you can take literally here in this Gemara. I mean, it could be there are some who do understand it literally, but the Mefarshim, some of the Mefarshim, Rashba, Marasha, I mean, in general, they also they have a lot of Gemaras they explain figuratively or metaphorically, at least, maybe not figuratively. There's different ideas here of, you know, the arrogance, and teeth very often represent arrogance, and it gets caught on him, and there's a lot of symbolism to every little point. I mean, Moshe being 10 Amos tall, and there's not another Gemara that says such a thing. It's hard to imagine a 20 Amma person, and there's like no mention of that in the Chumash. But so you know, each piece will have its symbolic points and its you know, metaphors you can learn from it. But Lamaisa, there seemed to be some miracle, right? I mean, we're talking about some boulder that, you know, it's one thing, we called it a boulder, we called it an even, right? And then all of a sudden, when you tell the story, it's a mountain, right? So so clearly, you know, there is some sort of discrepancy between this explanation and the words in the Mishnah. So presumably there was some actual literal event where Og wanted to throw a boulder of some sort, or many boulders, at Klal Yisrael, and Hashem saved them, and Moshe could have been the one to kill him. But a lot of these, you know, other points were presumably exaggerated, but not just stam for exaggeration, purpose, but rather for the goal of teaching other things with each point. Okay, so let's see the next thing. The even, and so we're going from stone to stone. The even sheyeshev Mosh Allah Moshe dechsev yidei Moshe kveidim. Right, the pasuk is explicit about this at the end, right, the very end of Parshas Beshalach. This is the Kriyas HaTorah for Purim. The hands of Moshe were very heavy. Vayikhu even vayisimu tachtov, and they took a stone and they placed it under him. And he sat on it. So if you see this stone that he sat on, that you would make a bracha on it. It's interesting that we choose the stone, you know. I mean, I guess you could say just because, like, you know, there's no other remnant of this scene except for Moshe's stone that lasted there. Though Moshe did make a mizbeach, right? It says, like, Hashem Nisi, Hashem is my miracle, Hashem is my banner. He did make some sort of mizbeach there. I wonder if he made the stone into a mizbeach. Could be that there's more significance to the stone than we really realize. and its role in the victory. But it's interesting that that's going to be the site. I think Pashup Shaz, it is the monument for the event that still remains, but there is presumably more depth here as well. Ve'ishto shel Lot, and also if you see the wife of Lot, right? Have you ever seen the wife of Lot?
Only the Salt Shakers.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. I've seen something by the Yavamelech that they say is, I don't remember if I saw it live or only saw it in pictures, that they assume is life of Yilot. You can look it up on...
What does it look like? Just a big thing?
Yeah, a big thing of salt that kind of looks like a woman. You can take a look at it. Look it up after we're done here.
It looks like the size
of it. No, just take a look. You let me know. That's your homework. That's your homework, Gabi. if you don't have enough already, I don't know. I don't know how much they're torturing you. You're an eighth grader. You should be. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, "Vatabet ishto me'acharav." His wife looked around from after him. Vatehi nitziv melach, and she became a pillar of salt. V'chomas yericho. Oh no. Okay. V'chomas yericho. So we'll speak more about that in a moment. V'chomas yericho shenivla, and the walls of Yericho that were swallowed up. Dichsiv. And the wall fell under it. So bishlama kuluhu nisa. So it makes sense. All of these things that you said in this brisa, all of them are nisim. Makes sense. Eliisha shalot pranusahu. But the punishment of Lot, that's a punishment. Meaning, you know, I mean, I guess like with Og also he is punished, and with Amalek they're punished. But. The wife of Lot wasn't an antagonist against Klal Yisrael or Avraham. You know, it's not, you know, it's just pranus. It's just bad news for Lot's family. Well, why is this something that we should say, Hashem, thank you for the great miracle you made for my forefathers here? So, pranus. So, da'amar, so, yeah, no, there's your correction. Da'amar baruch dayan ha'ames. No, when you see it, you're supposed to say baruch dayan ha'ames. It's interesting. You know, we usually think Baruch Diames is that, like, you know, someone great or at least neutral passed away, and it's hard for us to understand why, and we're sad, but we say, you know, anyway, Baruch Diames, we trust Hashem for everything. Or here was a very wicked woman, Chazal tell us. Her name Iris was stingy, and when Lot tried to bring in guests, she told everybody, and she's the reason actually for you know. That Lot and his family were almost killed themselves. So, but whatever we say we have Baruch Dayanes. That it's a negative thing, and we trust Hashem, even if we over here can actually understand why he did it, right? And especially because her blood, I don't know if it was blood, but I don't know, her pillar of salt was upon her own hands, because right, she was warned, don't turn around, and she turned around. But okay, it says Baruch Dayanes. But the bigger problem with that, the hoda v'shevach tani. But the Brisa said that when you see these things, you give shevach and hoda. Baruch dayanam, it's not shevach v'hoda. So tani was taught al Lot v'al ishto mevarchim shtayim. Regarding Lot and his wife, you make two brachos. Al ishto omer baruch dayanam es v'al Lot omer baruch zocher es atzadikim. That for Lot, right? So first of all, I don't know anyone. No one's seeing Lot. So what does this mean? No one is seeing Lot. So what does this mean that you see Lot? So presumably, it's again referring to the pillar that represents the story of Lot and his wife. Milk. For Lot and his wife, and over here you would make two brachos. You make the brach of Dayan HaMas and brach of Zocher Tzadikim, that you Hashem remembers the Tzadikim, and it seems to be that the Tzadikim would be referring to Shezachar es Avraham, says Rashi. He remembered Avraham and spared Lot on his behalf. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afil b'shas kasu shel Kadosh Baruch Hu zocher tzadikim." Even at the moments of Hashem's anger, he remembers the tzadikim. Shneamar, "Vehi b'sheches Elokim es arei akikar vayizkor Elokim es Avraham v'yishlaches Lot mitoch hafecha v'gomer." That even when Hashem was upset with the five cities and he was going to destroy them, but he remembered the tzaddik Avraham and saved Lot on his behalf. Okay, so now one of those things that we mentioned, so we're just going to go back to it. The Chomas Yericho Shenivla, the walls of Yericho that were swallowed. The Chomas Yericho Nivla? Wait, hold on. Well, what Navi are you reading? The walls of Yericho were swallowed up. V'ha nafla. But it fell. The wall of Yericho fell. Shenemar v'yikishmoam eskola shofar. V'yiriwam shrua gedola. So they blew, right? The sound of the shofar was heard. They blew the shofar, the shrua gedola. V'tipalacho matachteha. Right? So the Gemara responds, no. Kevan depusya v'ruma ki hadadininu. Since the width and the height were the same, meaning that these walls were as thick as they were tall. So they're like, you know, cubes. They're like blocks, cubes. That's what the wall was. So mishum hachi avla balue. Because of this, they were swallowed. Meaning that if walls like this fall, so they can't really fall. Right? If you turn them over, it's going to be the same size. So thank you. If you turn it over, it's going to be the same size. So rather, they crumbled to some degree. And it looked like they were swallowed, or they were actually swallowed into the ground. My question on this is: if they were swallowed into the ground, how do you see it? Right. So I get. Yeah. So right. So I would say something like that. You know, there's a little bit left over. There's an imprint in the ground. Whatever it is, there must be something. But it's interesting that it says, like, if you see the wall swallowed up into the ground, like, how did that happen? Okay, maybe an excavation. It could be over years they were able to dig it up, and it's like, oh wow, this is incredible. Look how much lower this is than everything else. I wonder if archaeologists have found the walls of Yericho. It'd be interesting. Gav, you have more homework. You ready?
Okay.
I'm a Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rab. Arba tzrichin lehodos. There are four people who need to thank Hashem in particular. Yordayam, those who go into the sea. Hoche midbaros, those who cross deserts. Umisha hayachola, somebody who is quite ill. Benisrape, and Baruch Hashem recovered. Umisha hayachavosh v'vesa asurim, and someone who was imprisoned in prison. It's a good place to be imprisoned, in prison. V'yatzei, and he ends up going out. Your day. So now, what we're going to do? We're going to just basically quote these four cases, and they're all sourced in the same parak of Tehillim. There's a parak of Tehillim, Kuf Zayin. Sfardim say this on Pesach night, both night, the first day of Yom Tov, I believe. I think so. Maybe it's the last day of Yom Tov. They say it at some point, multiple times, not over Pesach. We're going to do it a little bit out of order. The Gemara does it out of order. Tosfos addresses that to some degree, but it's basically talking about the challenges that these four groups of people have, and how ultimately Hashem miraculously saves them all, and therefore they give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're going to be just looking at this parak of Tehillim. So if we had more time, like I would recommend, and in our Chazar, what I do recommend is taking a Tehillim Kuf Zayin with English. Some of the words are hard, and just like looking side by side and seeing all these cases. But we're going to go through them rather quickly now. And these four people are obligated to thank Hashem. Ultimately, the thanking of Hashem that they're going to be doing would be, first of all, if there's Beis Mikdash bringing a Korban Todah. And nowadays, there is a special bracha you're supposed to say. So we're going to see one text of the bracha. We know it's going to be the Birchas Gomel, that thanking Hashem for bestowing goodness upon him. So let's take a look. I'll share a quick remez. This is the Torah's remez. I think he says it in his in the Arba Turim. Meaning you would think it's the Bala Turim, but no. Like the Torah says it. He says that the Chol Chaim Yuducha Sela. All of life you have to thank Hashem. We say that in Modim. So it says that if you want to remember these four cases, it's Rosh Tevis Chaim. That it's Chavush, right, imprisoned. Yisurim. Sickness, affliction, right? From Daf Hey, we discussed those. Yam, crossing the sea, and Midbar, desert. So V'chol Achayim, Yudu Chasela, Ches, Yud Yud Mem, alludes to these four things that I'm about to mention. So these four things, so the so Yordayam, Minalan, Tichsiv, Yordei Hayam, Baninos Vagomer, Hema Ro Mas, right, so these Yordei Yam in the seas Aneos is in ships. And so what happens to them? Hema ro maaseh Hashem. They see the actions of Hashem. The Omer vayamed ruach saara. It's skipping throughout the parak of Tehillim, but it's all from the same parak. And there's a stormy wind that gets up. Yalu shemayim yerdu sahomos, and it's going into the depths. The Omer yachogu vayanu vakishor, and they're like vashikor. They're going around like a drunk person, back and forth. Va'omer va'yitzaku el Hashem batzar lehem mutzukusayim yotziyim, and they cry out to Hashem in their distress, and they call out from the straits. Va'omer yakeim sar ledmama, and then Hashem makes the sea silent and calm. The Omer va'yismechu kiyistoku va'omer. Yodu Hashem chastav nivlas avnei adam, right? Yodu Hashem chastav nivlas avnei adam. Right, so that's this parak over here. They call out and thank Hashem, and then we say Holchem Midbar Asmi Nalam. We already know that because the pasuk says Tova Midbar. They're like wandering around in the Midbar, be Shimon Darach Erg Moshav Lo Matzo, in a desolate place, and there's no Moshav, there's no to be found, no inhabited place to be found. What are we going to do? We're going to die in the desert. Vayitzaku El Hashem, they cry to Hashem, Vayitzichem Midarach Yishara, and then they're led out on a Derach Yishara, a straight path. What do they say? Yodulach Hashem Chaso, Kinithlis of the Nedab. And then next, Mishachal and Vinishrape Dichsev, Evile Midarach Pisham Vivonasem Yisanu. That these Evilim, these fools, on the path of their pesha, their sins, and vanasem yisanu, and they're afflicted because of their averos. Kol ochel tisav nafsham vagomer. So they ate their body rejects all food becomes abominable to it. Vayizaku el Hashem batzar lehem vagomer, and they call out to Hashem in their distress. Yishlach dvar v'yirpayim vagomer. He Hashem heals them. Yodu Hashem chasto. These people also have to thank Hashem. Min shayachavash b'veis asur min alan dichsiv yosvei choshech v'tzamavas v'gomer. They're sitting in darkness and tzamavas, like the shadows of death. Ki himru imrei kel v'gomer, because they were mored against Hashem. They rebelled against Hashem. V'omer v'yachna ba'amal liba v'gomer. But they become humble. He humbles them. V'omer v'yizaku Hashem batzar lehem, and then they call out to Hashem. They cry out to Hashem in their distress. V'omer. And the pasuk says, "Yotzei mechoshech v'samavas v'gomer." He takes them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. Va'omer yodul Hashem chast. And then they thank Hashem. So we see these four things. It's worth noting that the Gemara doesn't mention these things in order. That the Perek of Tehillim is out of order. Tosfos does note that over here. What's also interesting is that when Rashi quotes all four of these things in Parshas Tzav, when Rashi's talking about the Karban Toda, he does a different order that doesn't match the Gemara or the Perek of Tehillim. So it's an interesting discussion. Maybe I'll I have an essay related to that that maybe we'll speak about Parshas Tzav or somewhere around there. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. We have a little bit to go. My Mevarech. So what's the bracha that he says? Amar Rav Yehuda, Baruch Gomel Chasadim Tovim. This is the bracha of Gomel Chasadim Tovim. But there are other Rishonim who have different girsahs of this Gemara, and it's held with halacha that he says Shagamani Kol Tov, right? Right? Bracha Gomel Chayvim Tovos Shagamani Kol Tov, and then it says everyone says Mishi Gomel Chol Vili Gomel Chol Tov Sela. So there's this bracha of Birchas Hagomel, but this is a different girsah of it. And Abaye Amar V'Tzarech Lo Dodei Kamei Asara. You should say it in front of 10 people. Dechsiv Yerumu Bekala Am V'Gomer. Right, the pasuk says Bekahal Lashon Kila is Lashon implication of 10. So you should say it in front of 10 people. Marzutru Amar Ustrain Minayu Rabbanon, and two of them should be Rabbanon. Two of them should be Chashav Chasmin Chachamim. Shnei Rakas, the pasuk says the Moshav Zekanim Yaluhu. That it should be in a Moshav Zekanim, right? Zeshakana Chachma. So it should be in front of twice people. Now we're going to challenge this for a second. Maskif La Rav Ashi the Emakulu Rabbanon. So based on that pasuk, maybe then all of them should be Rabbanon. Why do you say just two? Right? Zekanim. I mean, he gets from Zekanim, plural. Of Zakin, it must is minimum two, but he say no, then it should be the whole thing. So he responds, Miksiv Bekal Zakin, does it say in the Kahal of Zakin or no? Bekal Amksiv, it says no, the among the nation, but there should be two Zakin. Veima Beasara Sha'ar Am Right, so the aim of, I'm going to suggest then, Be'asara Shar Ama Usrei Rabbanan. So you need 10 regular people, and then in addition to that, 2 Rabbanan. You would need 12 people in all. The Gemara responds, Kasha, yeah, you're right. Tak, it's a good question. Maybe we don't do this. So it's a machlokas, Rishonim, how we understand this and how we hold. Is the Gemara really, the lashon of Kashta as opposed to Tiyufta, is the Gemara really rejecting this approach? So, ideally, the halacha, there's a lot of halacha that's surrounding this small piece of Gemara that we did. There's a lot of halacha surrounding, you know, what constitutes one of these 4 things? How sick does someone have to be? Is it just deserts, or is it any long distance, or any somewhat dangerous distance that you have to say Berchas HaGomel? There's a lot regarding that. Now the minhag is say by Kriyas HaTorah, one of the reasons is because there's always 10 people there, usually 2 Tamidei Chacham there. What if you don't have the Tamidei Chachamim? What if you don't have the minion? How do we hold? So there's a lot of halacha lemaisa. If you go to the All Daf app, I'm sure they have a lot of halacha. If you go to All Daf and go to our Amud, they have a lot of different halacha lemaisa shiurim on this. So it might be kedai to check out. Let's push a little bit more. And here's just an instance of such an occurrence. Rav Yehuda chalash. Rav Yehuda got sick. The ispach, and then Baruch Hashem, he got better. All the gabei Rav Chanana bagdadata v'rabanan. So Rav Chana bagdadata. Rav Chana says Rashi of Baghdad. He and the rabbanan went. Amrile, they said to him, Brich Rachmana Baruch Hashem dehavach nihilan, that he gave you to us. V'lo yahavach la'afron, he didn't give you to the ground. We're so happy he didn't die. Amar Lahu, he says to them, "Petartun Yosi Milo Adayue. You, Baruch Hashem, you've patterned me from needing to do Berachas HaGomel because you said it for me." But Rabbi says you need to do it with 10. What are you talking about? Gemara responds, "To have a Be'asara." It's okay, fine. So there are 10 people there. But he himself didn't say it. So the Gemara responds, "Lo Tzarech Tani Basrayu Amen." No, but he said Amen after them. Meaning he was being Yosef with them. He said Amen, and therefore you could do Berachas HaGomel that way. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shloshet Tzrich and Shimor. There are 3 people who need an extra shmira. They need someone to shomer to be with them. Ve'eluhain, these are they. Chole, chosan v'chala. A person who's sick, and a chosan, and a kala. The snisatano in a brisa we learned an expanded list. Chole, chaya, right? A sick person, a chaya is a woman who gave birth recently. A chosan. V'chala v'yesh omer af avel, even an avel v'yesh omer af tamidei chachamim balayla, and even tamidei chachamim balayla need it. V'amar of Yehuda, okay, shine. So different reasons for that. All these different personalities. Why would they need extra protection? Some of them because they're at a particularly low mazel right now, like, for example, an Avel. First of all, there are mystical ways to explain this and more rational, practical ways to explain this. The mystical ways are that there are like these demons that will attack them, and when their mazel is low, they're more prone, or when they are going through a particularly joyous time, then they're under more scrutiny because of Ayin Hara and things like that, and there's certain forces that are jealous of like a chasan, a kala, a tamid chacham, so they're more prone in these situations. And then there are more, I guess, rational ones that, you know, certain people are maybe more distracted. A chasan, a kala are very, very nervous, and a tamid chacham is very often wrapped in his own world of learning, is not aware of his surroundings fully. And a chola and a chaya, you know, different reasons. You know, different reasons for each one, and many different approaches. But lemaisa, these people need shomrim. We know this lahalacha for a chasan, for a kala, for a chola. Really, all of these things lahalacha. There's a lot relevant there. I think we'll hold it here, and interesting discussion for the Rav tomorrow with things that make you live long lives. So don't you don't want to miss this one.